AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Tuesday, Brett. Tuesday.
We were having a little debate about that.
Yes, I
am. It is indeed Tuesday.
It is indeed.
I was asking you, where's Jeff Stein today?
Well, that's right. It's Tuesday. Nothing scares on what? Oh, yeah. No, I do not have Jeff Stein today, but we are going to head up to 2B. Now, a few weeks ago, we had Michael Northbird from 2A. 2B is Karen Brandon. And Karen will be Democrat of the day here in a little bit. We'll talk to her about her her campaign and how things are going up there. Park Rapids area, I believe it is. And Monument, which is, if you go to Monument, I remember there was two, when I was up in Bemidji, I worked in Bemidji for a little bit. When I was up there was two summer festivals I just remember. Well, Paul Bunyan Days was always good fun in Bemidji. The Washkish Wild Rice Festival was amazing. That was actually one of possibly the greatest local community celebration I've ever been to. It was amazing. And then in Monument, and I think, is it Frontier Days? I can't even remember. I had a blast out there. We went and covered it for the radio station I was working for up there at the time. Just had a good time. So we'll talk to her because Monument is in that district, and we'll talk to her about how her campaign is going. Have you been out? It's a delightful day today. Absolutely magnificent.
I was out this morning, yeah. It was even nice this morning. Just a great couple of days we've had here.
It has been because I'm focusing on the weather because I want to be somewhat positive. Because it is amazing to me when I start talking about police shootings. And in the case yesterday, we talked about the decision by Freeman, the county attorney, not to charge the officers in the Blevins case. That not only am I not supposed to ever question the actions ever of a police officer, that to even point out some issues with training, with issues with I don't know if I would have done it that way. I don't know if that would be the best way to do it. Even pointing that out is crossing the line of betraying all police officers. That how dare you, Matt, judge these people. As a matter of fact, if you read in the Pioneer Press, they actually get the reactions. And Jeff Johnson, who's one of the Republicans running, his argument is you should never, ever question police. What? Pardon me? What? What was that? Oh, you're wanting a military authoritarian regime. Oh, okay. That we can never question the police or military leaders. Never, ever, ever question them. How dare you, Matt? Yesterday, when the Blevins case came down, the verdict came down, we on this show, and there is tape. You heard the show, I presume, Brett. It's your curse. You have to listen to the dang thing. We talked about how under the state law, that was a justified shooting. I completely understand Freeman's decision because there's no way in the world, even if he really wanted to, the state law is pretty clear on this. When Blevins pulled the gun and turned, and I'm not like, you know, some people who basically have, he was a demon creature with fire in his eyes. And he was getting ready to gun everybody down within 100-mile radius. I'm not doing that. But I will say this, gun was visible. Officers had to make a decision. The law says, boom. The problems that we have, there were a few of them. First of all, clearly people skills were not these two officers, forte. Even when experts have reviewed it, and once again, that same Pioneer Press had an interesting article where they had some experts review the tape. And whereas all the experts, for the most part, when it came to the shooting, said, yes, once the gun was visible, you have to, you know, the officer has to make that call. And no one was arguing that, much like myself. All of them were like, wow, that's a little bit of an aggressive tone when they got out of the car. And as numerous people, including myself, have said, if you didn't come out going blankety, blankety, blank, 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 screaming in a, you know, we're going to kill you tone, which it was, would that have ended with Blevins being dead? If the officers had just pulled over and said, hey, sir, do you mind if we ask you a quick question? Really quick here. We got a report of someone firing off a gun in the neighborhood. Do you know anything about that? Was that ever an option? You know, you are two police officers, and as we saw, unfortunately, with the Justine DeMond case, you apparently can shoot and kill someone from inside a car. if you feel threatened. So was that ever an option, or was it just it was a time to lay the smackdown on? Because that to me doesn't show me that these two officers have any level of de-escalation training. All right. And that they, as a matter of fact, they did as much as they could to pour as much gasoline over that situation and light it on up. I would make the comment that there was clearly comments coming from Blevins as he was going that did not show, at least to me, initially intent to pull the gun. You know, stop, please stop, please stop. Don't shoot me when he's yelling that. We then, of course, get to the shooting itself. And there are two elements of that. First of all, 14 rounds were fired. Only four of them hit. Now, one of the things I find to be interesting is people say, well, Blevins was wildly and indiscriminately shooting his gun. Well, you tell me what shooting 14 rounds and only hitting your target with four of them is. Because that seems like wildly shooting your gun and not really, I mean, that's less than one-third of the time hitting your target. I mean, that's pretty atrocious, and it really is. You can't be shooting 14 rounds in an urban environment, in a city. First, I mean, how in the world I don't know. I mean, how you start unloading clips, I don't know. But 14 rounds, four of which hit the target, that means 10 rounds did not. 10 rounds fired by the police officers did not hit the target. And potentially could have hit someone else, could have hit someone's car, could have endangered someone else's lives. That's wildly indiscriminately shooting too. Now, granted, the reason why we give police officers the right to do this is because they're police officers. They're not criminals. Blevins did not have the right to do that as a regular citizen. We in the state of Minnesota have bequeathed the right by police officers to, you know, basically shoot anyone they want to. As long as they feel as if there's a threat, most of the time has to be the element of proof. I mean, there's a real argument whether Justine DeMond there's going to be any guilty charge in that case, because the way the law is written is that he was scared and henceforth that it was Justine's fault, I guess. And so, you know, we give you the authority to do this. I don't give you the authority to start unloading clips into the street. You're not shooting the freaking predator, okay? You're not. And then there is the question of, I mean, when did everything become heart and head? Heart and head. I'm going round and round with these clowns as like, because in the military, when I was in the military at Gulf One, we had a case where we actually went to some specialized training, and I can't even really remember this. I think it was around Gulf One, and we went in there, and the guy told us how to do leg shots. Just aim slightly lower. Aim for the legs. That will stop them pretty quick if they're running at you. You don't want to kill them. Okay. It's not like I won any medals for it. It's not like I've got my ribbons on my chest for it. It was just some auxiliary training. But we did it in the military. How come that's not – how is this not an option in the police departments? I mean, it seems to me that there's that old cliche of the officer, I've been on the force for 40 years. I never once pulled my gun. Now it seems like I've been on the force for 4 hours. I pulled my gun six times already. That seems to be a little outrageous. And the fact is that we can't, you know, when you're that close to someone, you can't take a shot that disables the person without aiming for their head or heart seems to me to be a little outrageous. Seems to me to be a little outrageous. It just does. So you have these people that, you know, once again, we have given police officers the right to murder, the right to kill, the right to shoot, the right to whatever you want to call it. They can shoot first, ask questions later. That is how we treat the police nowadays. We've militarized them. We have given them body armor. We have given them military combat grade equipment. And we have written laws which basically say an officer, you can have an officer drunk as a skunk off duty, having sworn they're going to shoot this guy for years, go out and shoot this guy. And as long as the officer says, I thought that cell phone in his hand was a gun, there's a decent chance that guy's going to get off. He's not going to face a day in prison. That's why I said, if you want to murder someone, go become a police officer. All you have to do is say, I was scared. And basically, it's almost impossible to charge you with a crime. It's almost impossible. If we are going to give this standard of instant death sentence, I want to remind everyone, Blevins got an instant death sentence for shooting a gun into the sky, being drunk in public, running from an officer, and brandishing a weapon, which may or may not have been him trying to shoot at the officers. But that was a death sentence. That is what we have determined. That is a death sentence. Justine DeMond got a death sentence because she called the police to report a crime and then dared to approach the police vehicle in her pajamas. Jamar Clark got a death sentence because he basically was as walking down the street, two officers tried to do the San Diego maneuver on him. When that failed horribly and one of them was on the ground with Jamar Clark on top of them, he was saying, shoot, 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 because he'd screwed up the San Diego maneuver. Philando Castile, he got an instantaneous death sentence for informing the officer, I have a concealed weapon in the car. And once again, I mean, the Yanez case, my God, I mean, the comparisons here where the Yanez was wildly firing into the car with no respect for anything outside of just killing the guy, almost shot a kid in the back seat. Where does that sound like? Oh, that's right. 14 rounds fired, only four hit their target. For goodness sakes. If you are going to give these police officers this level of carte blanche where there is not going to be any kind of oversight on them, then for God's sakes, we should have effective screening processes, effective hiring processes, constant training, and an active case where if we are going to give human beings the ability to administer the death penalty instantaneously, for God's sakes, don't you think we should train them? Don't you think that we should have some basic training out there so that they at least understand what they're doing? And here's where I get upset, is that it's a tragic loss of life. Blevins is a tragic loss of life, like Justine DeMond, like Jamar Clark, like Philando Castile. They're all tragic losses of life. At no point does any of these people seem to give a rat's caboose about the fact that there's a dead man here. It's almost fact, it feels like there's verbal high fives going on because, yeah, he got what he deserved. He got an instantaneous death penalty sentence administered by yourselves. And if I dare question that, I somehow am the evil bastard who's anti-cop. No. Blevins, when he pulled that gun and turned, he gave the authority to the officers to drop him, and that's what they did. But if you think that I am going to just sit in a world where I was like, well, that officer got him. Well, that's just that. And not say, wait a minute here. What did you approach him saying? Is that how they train you in the academy? Is that the proper procedure to going up to a suspect? Because that doesn't seem like anything I've ever heard of. I somehow am anti-cop. If I look at 14 rounds being fired and only four hitting the target, I'm anti-cop. Or if I look at Bob Kroll, who, let's not forget him, the union president, who basically not only seems to be verbally high-fiving the death of an individual, which, by the way, is sick, is just sick. The glee and pleasure that Kroll seems to get from dead civilians is really weird, man. That is really sick, dude. That's incredibly anti-Christian, too. I don't know what's going on with you, but you might want to... Remember, I keep talking about counseling? Might be a good idea. Psychological reviews might be a good idea. But then for him to go on top of that and he himself throw as much gasoline on the situation as possible and say anyone who said that Blevins didn't have a gun should be prosecuted and thrown in jail. For Kroll to do that, I mean... I guess the Minneapolis police have decided they're going to wage an all-out war against the African-American population because it sure as heck seems like that. And until someone in the Minneapolis Police Department comes out here and says, Bob Kroll's an idiot. Bob Kroll should never say that. He was a stupid moron who basically is just ego and testosterone thinking that he's the big man on campus. Until someone knocks that little mustache clown down a little bit, well, guess what? You've created more problems than you've solved. The overall testimony should be this. Clearly, the African-American population of Minneapolis-St. Paul does not trust the police. And instead of sitting here and trying to incite more distrust and more hatred and more animosity between the two groups, maybe, just maybe, there should be some attempts being made by the police here to say, you know, we got some work to do here. That's just me. But hey, you're anti-cop, Matt. No, I'm not. I'm pro-accountability. And if you can't see what the difference is, you're a clown and I don't have any time for you. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit ferndalemarket.com.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Hi, everybody. Make plans to attend the one and only Powderhorn Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday, August 4th and 5th in the heart of South Minneapolis and picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. Experience and purchase original artwork from more than 230 artists. Spend time with your family and friends creating your own work of art at over a half a dozen art stations. And don't forget to grab a bite to eat from over 25 different food trucks. So join us on Saturday, August 4th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. or Sunday, August 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or both. The Powderhorn Art Fair is proudly brought to you by Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association in collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board with a generous gift from the Metropolitan Regional Art Council. Again, join us for over 230 artists, 25 food trucks, and 6 arts experiences on August 4th and 5th. So we'll see you there at one of the most local art fairs around.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. No, you can't sit here and act as if what we've got going on in this country is not a problem. It is a serious problem we've got right now. And part of the problem is that we have people who they get outraged at anyone going against what they want. Is once again, I'm dealing with these people who, like I said, we have this military training and they're insisting that this is some sort of grand lie. I'm like, dude, man, I mean, I would love to take a few thousand dollars from you guys because all I have to do is basically get a few of my buddies that I was in the military with. Does, you know, hey, remember when we did this? Yep. Okay, fine. But because I'm a liberal Democrat, I consider myself more of an Al Gore Democrat. I mean, I do agree with Paul Wellstone on some things, but I also agree with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton on some things. I find myself more of an Al Gore Democrat. But because I'm a Democrat, the mere fact that I was in the U.S. Army and that a veteran, that I can use the term veteran for myself, infuriates these people. And they so desperately want to diminish that. They so desperately want to to erode that, to basically take that off my record. Because how dare you? If you are one of these people that, you know, if you want to criticize the police, is he a Democrat? Oh, how dare he? Or I'll bring up a beaut of a one here. I don't know if you saw the story that Ilhan Omar, who is running for Keith Ellison's seat, Minnesota 5, right? She was paid $2,000 in February of 2017 to serve as a keynote speaker at the Normandale Community College, another $500 a month later to speak at an engagement in Inver Hills Community College, according to public records. In a press conference Monday, the Draz shows back up. Steve Drazkowski from Zippa said accepting those payments violates the House policy that bars members from taking honoraria from groups that have business before the legislature. Both schools are part of the Minnesota State School System, which received funds. Omar is a member of the House Higher Education Finance Committee. She's basically said she's going to return the money and be done with it. But okay, now once again, rules are rules, and I will back up. I'm going to ready everyone. Be careful. I don't want anyone driving off the road here. Okay, I'm going to back up Drazkowski for a quick second. Okay, I'll back up the Draz for a quick second. If that's the rules, she shouldn't have done the speaking engagements. Give the money back, be done with it. All right, fine. You can go do the speaking, but you just can't get paid for it. And if you got paid, you were wrong. All right? All right. But Draz, as outraged as you are about this, and you are outraged, you had a press conference, you went out for this. Did you ever look into the Speaker of the Minnesota House, Kurt Dowd? And funny story, I don't know if you've ever heard this. Brett, tell me if you've ever heard this one before. Apparently, Kurt Dowd, the Speaker of the Minnesota House, had a lot of credit card debt. And as a matter of fact, was in financial trouble with that credit card debt. And he got his credit card bill, supposedly was forgiven, I believe, by the law firm that represented the credit card company. A law firm which, funny story, has a lobbying wing over in St. Paul. I don't know if you, did you ever hear that? Have I ever mentioned that before?
I did, and I think it was only four other people had their credit card debt forgiven, and like two of them were dead.
Yeah, and it was basically people that have no relations, that you have died, and basically you have no family left. That's how the classification of this credit card forgiveness was basically, that's how they wiped it out. Funny, has Drazkowski ever once gone over and said, hey, can you explain this? And can you tell us if you've met with anyone from this law firm's lobbying wing? I don't remember that. I don't remember that press conference. Draz, if your people could call Brett, 952-946-6205, call Brett and let us know what your we must have missed that press conference and that outrage demanding more answers from the Speaker of the House for getting his credit card debt forgiven by a law firm. You should really give us the rundown of when you were outraged about that. As a matter of fact, one could make an argument, as wrong as it was for Ilhan Omar to take this $2,500, which she has paid back from these colleges, it is far worse and far more terrifying to think of. I think it was like $10,000 for the credit card debt forgiven by a law firm with a lobbying wing to the Speaker of the House. That would seem to me to be something that a normal person would be far more outraged by. And yet, I don't think Drazkowski's been upset about that. It's this bipolar outrage where the concept is to destroy your enemy, not to work with the other side. This is why, by the way, this goes back to why I block people on social media. It's after 5 seconds I can tell you're not worth talking to because basically you're not here to have a discussion. You're here to basically try to scream at me and tell me I'm a bad person. Well, I don't have time for that. I'm married, so I get that already. So, oh, times I wish. I'm glad my wife doesn't listen to the show. But she's working downtown. But no, I don't have time for this. And if your outrage is so wrong that you can't look at a shooting of Blevins, you can't look this case here and see, oh, well, I guess we've missed a little bit. If everything is about just my side is right and your side is wrong, well, then you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. End of story. And I don't mind asking questions. And I sure as hell do not want to live in the United States of America where I am not allowed to question the police or the military. That is my right as an American citizen. Period. Steve is in Minneapolis. Let's get his comment. He wanted to chime in on the Blevins shooting. Welcome on in, Steve.
Yeah, a few quick things. First of all, I'm a do-it-yourself kind of guy, and I will be carrying my drill in a bag when I'm outside from now on.
Okay.
Secondly, I thought this crap might end when a pretty white girl got shot. I was wrong. And thirdly, this thing keeps popping up about a motorcycle club called the City Heat, made up of Minneapolis and Chicago cops that seem to have some pretty serious white supremacy tendencies, and I'd really love somebody to investigate that.
What's the name of this group?
City Heat.
All right. And is this something that the city of Minneapolis is aware of?
I don't know, but I mean, it's in my local newspaper here.
Which paper is that?
Southside Pride.
All right, I'll see what I can dig up on that. I mean, and thanks, Steve. I've not heard of Minneapolis, Chicago cops being in something like that. Actually, I should correct myself. I might have heard of Chicago cops in that. Was it Phoenix cops? There was like a bunch of guys, or was it Arizona State Patrol or something like that? They had a bunch of guys that were in a really racist bike gang. And they somehow sort of said, oh, yeah, well, when we're out being our racist self, that's different from when we're at the job. Oh, okay. Really? Is that what it is? I've never heard of that. I'll take a look into it. I've never heard of anything about that. But I can't believe that would be something that would be tolerated. Even when you got the incompetency of Bob Kroll, I can't believe how with the things he say. I have a hard time believing that Minneapolis police has got a bike gang running around of racists. I have a hard time. I'll look into that, though. I mean, I'll look into your claim and Southside Pride. I'll see if I can dig out some more information on that. 952-946-6205. When we do return, Democrat of the day is Karen Brandon. 2B, we're going to go up to the Northland again, and she'll join us in just a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Original boy man's of sound. Big up, pill on my
side. Good times when the baseline pumps penetrate your face. Minnesota is home to the only major institution in North America devoted to Russian art, history, and culture. The Museum of Russian Art, located off 35W on Diamond Lake Road in South Minneapolis, can be your personal connection to extraordinary artists, stories, and context. We offer more exhibitions and events than ever before, from concerts and lectures to vodka tastings and more. Open daily, free parking, and a great Groupon deal. Find out more at tmora.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. With summertime here, my family is super excited about the road trips we'll be taking in our Toyota Sienna. We're going to be putting a lot of miles in, but a Sienna is the most comfortable way to drive. Plenty of room for the five of us to stretch out and enjoy the ride, even with the dog and all of our gear tagging along. Safety and reliability are key, and Rudy Luther Toyota Siennas are the most safe, most reliable vehicles we've ever driven. Test drive one yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
The only thing better than being outdoors soaking up that summer sunshine is coming into a nice, cool, air-conditioned house afterwards. So if you're looking at updating or buying a new AC, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has some great systems at $700 off during July. There's even easy financing options available on approved credit. It's no sweat. Really, no sweat. Call today and ask how you can save $700 on your new air conditioner. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Some restrictions apply.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. eLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Nightingale down on Lyndale. Fantastic place. If you've not been down there, wonderful food. Snacks, bruschettas, small plates, great variety. They change up their menu a lot. The lamb is exceptional when they've got it on there. The seafood is exceptional when they've got it on there. Just and when they taste sharing plates, you don't have to. I go out there with friends and they say, hey, these are sharing plates. No, that's not a sharing plate. I'm eating that one. That's mine. Give me. It's up to the individual. It's delicious food. You'll have a really good time. Great cocktails as well, and a great atmosphere. It keeps winning awards, and there's a big reason why, is it's just a fun place. Nightingale, 2551 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Joining us right now from 2B is Karen Brandon. She is the DFL endorsed candidate for 2B, and she's kind enough to join us as Democrat of the Day. Good afternoon, Karen. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Well, and thank you very much. I'm so glad. It's been so nice. As I mentioned with some of the other northern and especially the northwestern Democrats who are running, we did a lot out in the west, the southwest and the south part of the state and the central part of the state on the Iron Range. But we'd been missing a few people, getting more people from the northwest. So I'm so glad you had the time today to join us, because it is these are districts that I think we can win if we get that message out there.
Absolutely, we can win this district if we get that message out there. You're absolutely right. And again, I thank you for having me on the show, because I think often in the urban area, they forget about us out here. And we're quite the group to be reckoned with.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think there are sometimes you get that. And I think, I also think that this is kind of common for a lot of people in a lot of districts. Mm-hmm. You get so focused on what's in front of you, you mm-hmm. don't realize the bigger game that's in play right now.
Sure.
And when we talk about these districts, and we had Michael Northbird was on with us last week. He's got that massive district. It's very difficult. It's not like, Cheryl Youakim, who's my house rep in Hopkins. She's got basically a fairly contained little area. Not saying there's not a lot of houses to do door knocking on, but there's not a 45-minute drive to get from town to town to go do the door knocking. And these districts are big, but they're manageable if you have the volunteer base. And that's what we're trying to do, is get as many people from the metro area up to help you guys.
Oh, exactly. And I think a lot of people from the metro area have actually been into my district, because I have the headwaters of the Mississippi.
Of course you do. Park Rapids.
Itasca.
You've got Park Rapids, Itasca, Monument. What are the other cities in there?
Callaway, Waubun, Lake Park, Audubon, Nevis.
Audubon, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, Frazee.
Mm-hmm. I was in Bemidji. And what's the festival in Monument? Oh, I can't. Is it Frontier Days? Was it Frontier Day? I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
I had a blast there. That was a good time. Monoman. I'm sorry. It tells you how good of a time I had.
Right?
But
yeah, Monoman is fantastic.
Well, and you got the trails. You got a lot of people that get up there for tourism. And this is what
exactly.
I kind of one of the things I'm trying to do is trying to get as many people as possible that when they're up visiting their cabin, they're up doing the trails, they're up vacationing, that they're getting out there and they can just give your campaign a call and see how they can help out. Let's start off with this though. Who exactly is Karen Brandon?
Well, I grew up in a place called Barnesville, Minnesota. It's a small farming community. My family didn't have a lot of money, so we didn't own a home, and basically was lucky enough to get into Minnesota State University Moorhead and got some federal and state assistance and worked my way through college. And after college, I ended up loving education, so got a master's and went on for a PhD, and now I teach at MSUM Moorhead. But I've taught in Bemidji as well, and I've taught in other places. So I'm a small town girl, and now I'm a woods woman. I've lived in my district for 27 years, and I'll spend the rest of my life here.
I was reading about that. Is your house pretty remote there?
Yeah, my house is kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's off a lake. It's back in the woods. We've got maple trees, and the Buffalo River runs right on the back part of our property. We tap the trees, and it's nice and quiet out here.
Well, now that was one of the best parts. When I lived in Bemidji, mm-hmm. and I was working for KKBJ up there many, many years ago, and one of my favorite things to do on the weekends was you could get out in the woods, and my God, was it was just lovely and quiet, and you kind of that embracing of nature. And
right.
and you know that just it's I it can see why that kind of a lifestyle really has its appeal.
Yes, absolutely. And I think a lot of people from the urban area come up here because we share Minnesota. A lot of us go to the urban area for our music, good restaurants, all sorts of entertainment we can get. We love Minneapolis, St. Paul, and we love it when people from there come out here so we can share all the resources that we have in the state. And I think we break the state up into parts and pieces, but really we're all invested in flipping this state to blue.
We are.
And so we like the work that you're doing is so important because it highlights the fact that there are these places out that people can't see in front of them that can flip. And that, again, that's another vote in the House, right? That's another vote for Minnesota.
Well, it's a slightly incompetent megaphone is my job. You're doing the heavy lifting here. So you're out in your beautiful wooded lot here, but something happened. What prompted you to say, you know what, this is, I'm doing it. I'm running for 2B.
Well, one of my friends tapped me, a woman named Kathy Coyle, who's now my campaign manager, said, we really need somebody to run in 2B. And I had thought about politics before, but I just, you know, you just, politics, it's a really big, heavy thing. And so when she asked me, I spent a lot of time talking about it. And I talked to my father. He was 86. He passed away 2 weeks ago. And he told me to go for it.
Well, I'm so sorry about the passing of your, I'm so sorry about your loss there. And you know, he told you to go for it. And
yep,
you know, good
that's
for
okay.
You.
Well, he told me, he said, you're going to win and you're going to make a difference and you're going to change things. And so his spirit is with us.
Well, absolutely wonderful. And first of all, and I want to make sure I mentioned, thank you much for joining us here. You know, it's the legacy here, as you talk about, you know, as you push for this, you know, you're carrying your father's spirit here and pushing forward. This has got to be, I mean, obviously it's something that you feel as if this is the representation you've had there has not been that good, that this is something that needs to be changed.
Right. And I don't spend too much time talking about my opponent. Because I believe that we should be running for something. It's just too easy to run against something.
Exactly.
And what we're running for is coming together. We're running for making the rural voice stronger and reminding people that we're not a drain in the world. We're people are opportunities. People are strength. And the rural voice is a place that's pretty unique and holds a lot of strength. And I want to share that. And I want to make sure I share that down in St. Paul.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you're in the race. And it's just
Thank you. And I
really all my best to you as you continue for this race. I agree wholeheartedly with you. And I think this is the mistake Democrats have been making for a few election cycles is that don't give me a reason to vote against that person. Mm-hmm. Inspire me. Tell me why I should vote for you. So if you were to get down to St. Paul, what would you be championing?
I'd be championing again, the rural voice, but also the issues that are prominent in my district, which are healthcare, right, common all over the state, education, broadband and childcare are big issues out here, better jobs that pay better with better benefits. Those are the top issues that we're dealing with out here in the rural area that I think people are dealing with everywhere. So I would be championing those for sure.
Tell you, let's start with one of the ones you talked about, broadband. How is your broadband situation there? Because it's interesting because I'll talk to some districts. One of the first Democrats of the day I did, I don't think he said there was no broadband anywhere in his district. And there are some districts that I've talked with where they've done somewhat well. It's a patchwork at best. Okay, that the best way to describe it?
That's what it is here, patchwork at best. And I think it makes it difficult for people in our communities to stay caught up technologically in the world. And we can't blame broadband businesses for this because, you know, they need to make a living on what they do. So we have to find a solution that works both for businesses and for these local communities that struggle. Our local businesses in particular struggle with this. How are they going to run a business if they can't have good broadband? So I know it's something that a lot of different groups are working on. They found some solutions in North Dakota, and that's what I would be looking at. What solutions are out there, and how can we make them work in Minnesota?
Well, and when you look at it, I think the mindset, and I know you've not been talking about the Republicans, but the mindset the Republicans have been is that this is an individual thing. Go pay the money if you really want it. The reality is this is an infrastructure improvement. This is like when we built roads or electrical lines,
exactly.
The TVA. It has become one of those things. And you talk about business, and we've talked a lot about small businesses needing broadband, mm-hmm. but you talked healthcare. Broadband is a necessity
exactly.
for healthcare. It's for education. I mean, these kids having to drive, how many kids are in your district have to drive 30 minutes to a coffee shop to do homework at night because they don't have broadband. I mean, this is something that it is more than just a internet or cable TV option. It is an infrastructure improvement that should have been dealt with years ago, but now it needs to definitively be done.
Right. It's moved from a privilege to a right, to make things fair, to make things equal. Like you said, it's like saying, okay, if you want to use the road, you have to pay for, you know, that section yourself, and then you can drive on it. But you can't drive on any other roads until you personally pay for them. That doesn't make sense. So let's open it up. Let's be more realistic, and let's make sure that we're hearing from all the people, because remember that the more people you hear from, the more diverse voices that are at the table, the more information you have, the more likely you are to come across exciting, passionate solutions that end up being fun to implement rather than trudging along and not finding any solutions.
Healthcare, let's get into that a little bit too, because I mean we had a massive problem with our healthcare system, mm-hmm. which was initially addressed to a point, although somewhat unsuccessfully, with the Affordable Care Act. But at least we were having lower rates, lower premiums. We had promises of cheaper, more you know, better healthcare. That has not come to fruition. This is the topic I think of everyone, because when you're thinking about, especially whether it's a farmer where your margins are $25,000, $26,000 mm-hmm. a year, and your health care is going up, you know, $5,000 every quarter, or whether it's you know, the elderly within these communities. And once again, this is a district that, like a lot of the outstate Minnesota, mm-hmm. has a very large elderly population that needs health care options out there, affordable health care options that are accessible. Which goes back to the broadband as well. This is something that it's universal. This we have to fix the problem of health care in America and in Minnesota.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest piece is affordability. How do we build a system that takes care of everybody? Because after all, we want to be humane. We want to stop this arguing about, again, it's like broadband, about this person should pay personally for that and that person should pay personally for this. How do we come together as communities to build strong structures so that when we do want to implement something as an individual, we're standing on a strong structure of community rather than on this competitive pulling people apart. And healthcare has become this political tool rather than this human right.
Yeah.
And so we have to make it affordable and accessible to all. It's much more simple than people want to make it. People want to make it complicated. But when you sit down and look at the solutions, it's just something that we have to do. And we're moving in that direction. And we'll continue to move in that direction, but we'll definitely continue to move further in that direction if I'm down in St. Paul. Because the people in my community, I mean, you talked about farmers. Some people don't have very good health coverage right now. If they get sick, they're going to lose their farm.
Yeah.
You know, people are losing their houses. And it's not just that. It's the idea that they're working hard and they have this fear that they're going to get sick. So they have this anxiety around them, right? That if I get sick, I'm going to lose everything. And that's not a way to live. That's not a way to thrive.
And you bring in the farmers, and I mean, my heart is with them, because if you're a soybean farmer, you're watching your Chinese market close up. If you're a meat producer, pork, beef, you're looking at China and Mexico closing up. Some dairy in Minnesota going into Canada drying up. I mean, it's hard enough when you're looking at your expenditures growing like that, but when you're looking at your base income being threatened on such a monumental level, I mean, the stress on these people is there. And once again, that's even more health issues.
Exactly. Everybody knows what stress does on you, and it's not good. And I don't think that this national climate is producing any less stress. And my focus in my campaign is local politics. We have to get back to the local. What's happening in these local communities is important, and the strengths in these local communities and the strong voices and the innovation. You know, we're not talking about those. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be something that gets brought to the forefront. You talk about the Mom and Matt program up in Nativash that's working on heroin addiction and all sorts of addiction. It's very successful. Nobody's mentioning that. So I'm running because I want to bring those success stories further out. You know, I want to highlight those, because we're not spending any time doing that either. What are the good things in our communities?
Hey, do me a favor. Quick side note. Send me information. Email me the information about that program you just mentioned. I'll make sure I give some leeway to that. And by the way, you know what? Another thing that I love about this election cycle is that we've remembered there's an F and an L in the DFL, farm and labor.
Right.
And I think labor has always, for the most part, been represented, but we are a party that has always looked out for the farmer, and we've looked at it from that local base, but also looking on an international market. And it's something which, you know, it's a shame it's taken the markets that we have grown dependent on to be threatened for us to remind us of that. But we need to have more effective leadership that knows the product, knows the producer, knows the farmer, and can relay that information down to St. Paul. That is why I think that we need to get more DFLers in there, because the reality is that's where you're getting your representation if you're a farmer. That's the DFL.
Well, and we have a great representative in Colin Peterson. And so I was just having lunch with him today to get advice on what is happening. I wanted information on what is happening and what is the role of somebody at the House level, at the state level, in relation to your role at the federal level. And so, you know, Colin Peterson is our leader in this, and he is DFL. He is the Democrat, and that's national. And so we have a strong leader for our farmers right from here who grew up farming. So we have the answer right in front of us.
So let's say this once again, you're going up to say beautiful Park Rapids or Itasca. You want to go do that quick little jump across the Mississippi River at the very beginning of it. You want to go out some of the most beautiful trails. Oh my God, the trails in your district are as good as they get. I was mountain biking up there when I was there. It really was. I flushed a moose once with a mountain bike.
Wow, nice.
That scared me to death.
You should be scared. They can take you out.
I think me, big guy on a mountain bike, I think I scared the moose more than me. We both went the opposite direction really quick. But no, it's a beautiful place. A lot of people going up there, you know, volunteering to do some door knocking. You have some parades and you got some, has the county fairs gone on yet?
Still some county fairs, powwows.
Nice.
We can always use people door knocking. Of course, we can always use donations. People can give up to $1,000. But if you give $50 as an individual or $100 as a couple, you can get that money back through the public subsidy program. And you do not have to be in my district to get that money back through the public subsidy program. But any help at all, phone banking, if people are uncomfortable door knocking, we'll have phone banking events. And we'll be listing my events on my website, which is KarenBrandonMN.com. And Brandon is B-R-A-N-D-E-N, not O-N, but just KarenBrandonMN.com. And I have a wonderful volunteer coordinator. Her name is Anna Fingleson. Shout out to Anna Fingleson. And she's fantabulous. So we have a great team up here. We would love people to become involved. We're all invested in flipping this seat.
And once again, here's my statement I always make. Guys, help your local Democrat by all means. But if you're in one of those relatively safe districts, get out of the metro area. We need to go
flip. Thank you.
The Republicans are banking on the Democrats not trying to compete in outstate Minnesota. What will flip a majority of those seats in the Minnesota House is the Republicans having to actually work to hold those seats, because they haven't had to do that in a long time. And so the DFL challenging them is a big deal. Getting up there, door knocking. I can't tell you how many stories we've heard of people who have said, I haven't had a Democrat come by in 20 years and talk to me. Mm-hmm. So getting up there, talking to all the people in the district, getting to these parades, getting to these county fairs, going to the events, making the phone bank, or just writing a check. If you can do that, once again, it's Karen Brandon, BrandenMN.com. I'll link to the website on Twitter and Facebook a little bit later on. Go on up there, volunteer 4-hour shift while you're on a vacation. It's a great way to do it. We got August left before we start getting into the back to school and stuff. So August is the time to go up to 2B and help out. Karen.
Absolutely. And we're a lot of fun up here. I mean, we're running a hard, hard campaign. We're very serious. We're very professional, but man, we have a ton of fun. So, you know, if you want to be involved in politics and have a good time, we're definitely the place to stop by.
Karen, once again, from myself here and everyone at AM50, all our best to you on your loss. Your strength is your strength is absolutely amazing. This has been a delight. You have been one of my favorite Democrats of the day. I am so happy you joined us. And by all means, when we get a little closer, let's see if we can get you back on again, okay?
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for doing this. And thank you for connecting the urban and the rural, because I think we're too separate. And
exactly.
Thank you for that solid strategy. Like, hey, if your Democrat is doing fine in your district, reach out and help another district flip, because your Democrat in your district is going to want you to do that.
Oh, yeah, they will. Oh, yes, they all those Metro
Absolutely.
Democrats, they want as many of these seats to go to the blue as possible. Karen,
exactly.
Karen Brandon, 2A, or excuse me, 2B, 2B, Karen 2B. Brandon, 2B, Karen Brandon, Democrat of the day. Karen, thank you very much. I appreciate
thank
the time.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone.
You too. Okay, take care. We'll take a quick
take
break.
Care.
Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Make plans to attend the one and only Powderhorn Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday, August 4th and 5th in the heart of South Minneapolis and picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. Experience and purchase original artwork from more than 230 artists. Spend time with your family and friends creating your own work of art at over half a dozen art stations. And don't forget to grab a bite to eat from over 25 different food trucks. So join us on Saturday, August 4th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. or Sunday, August 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or both. The Powderhorn Art Fair is proudly brought to you by Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association in collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board with a generous gift from the Metropolitan Regional Art Council. Again, join us for over 230 artists, 25 food trucks, and 6 arts experiences on August 4th and 5th. So we'll see you there at one of the most local art fairs around.
You have lots of choices in the Twin Cities for carpet and air duct cleaning, so don't just call the cheapest cleaners because you think you're getting a deal. You'll pay for it. Call Zero Res with their Gotta Love It guarantee, where they'll work to make you happy, whatever it takes. Schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month, you can save $50 when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. So, if you didn't mention, one quick thing here I did want to mention, I got about a minute left. Facebook apparently has found, okay, what you have known the Russians to try to be doing is not going to happen anymore. They're just not going to be able to infiltrate Facebook like they did last time. They're not going to be able to infiltrate Twitter like they did last time. There's too many people now that are keeping an eye out. And Facebook today announced that they was at 30 accounts that they basically said were, you know, clearly fraudulent accounts that were trying to spread, you know, and divisiveness and anger. And they finally figured out they couldn't say definitively if they were Russian, but they said all the signs that they came out of that troll farm out of St. Petersburg, Russia, that was the case there. We've also had numerous politicians, including Senator Jeanine, is it New Hampshire? Is that Jeanine? I think is out of New Hampshire.
Ring a bell for me.
No,
yeah.
It's but McCaskill out of Missouri. They both were attempted hacks from the Russians. Mark my word, any state that does not have paper ballots is going to be a massive target for them on Election Day, because right now their best bet is to hack the election itself. Minnesota, we got a paper ballot system, so there is a way for us to back that up. But I think it's time for us to start putting the pressure on these states that do not have that, because I think the fix is going to attempt to be in. Doug's in next. Till tomorrow. See ya.